with my colleague and friend Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, who's an Australian, a member of the Commonwealth. And I have seen photographs over the years of King George V in wartime, in uniform, with his beautiful mustache. And I've seen photographs of King George VI in wartime, in his uniform. Often, I believe it was a Navy uniform, if I'm remembering. His father wore the Army uniform with the cavalry boots. Very trim-looking, both of them. The beautiful mustache and beard of King George V. What is the role of the king in wartime, Gregory? The scene that I have in my mind is when Churchill came to the palace and presented his papers in May of 1940. What is the role?
Well, the sovereign is commander-in-chief of all the armed forces. The armed forces swear allegiance to the crown, which is the same as in the United States, where they swear allegiance to the Constitution, which is essentially the crown of the United States. So the king embodies the nation and the values of the nation, and therefore the respect of the armed forces, it's above politics. When the role of the armed forces becomes overriding, as in times of formal conflict, then the role of the sovereign comes to the fore even more. And even now, even in peacetime, you see the sovereign and other members of the royal family in their military uniforms. We just saw the Duke of Kent, for example, retiring, because he's in his 90s, retiring as the Colonel-in-Chief of the Scots Dragoon Guards, and he's being replaced by the new Duke of Edinburgh, and they, of course, are appearing in the uniform of that regiment. But you see all of the royals, including Princess Anne, who is Colonel-in-Chief of a number of military institutions, both naval and army, and you've got others who are Air Force, such as Prince William, Prince of Wales, and they, in times of war, would definitely be serving to provide support, morale, and so on to the troops. Would they be involved in day-to-day military decisions? Not at all. No, but neither would any commander-in-chief be involved in tactical decisions. Yes, they would be involved in things which would risk the national survival, but the reality is that the role of the monarch in wartime is to inspire not only the armed forces, but the nation into a comprehensive defense, as we saw with Queen Elizabeth I rallying her forces against the potential invasion of the Spanish. And it was her rallying who saved the day against the Spanish, to some degree at least. And it's certainly as an historical turning point for Britain, that was critical. So it's always been the case that the monarch is there to inspire and serve. And we saw, even until in the 20th century, we saw monarchs leading the forces into battle. Emperor Haile Selassie was manning anti-aircraft guns against the invading Italians in 1935, and he was back at the front of his troops when they went back in to defeat the Italians in 1941.
Britain's not at war, and yet a part of the British defense forces took part of the defense of Israel over the weekend. Does the king have a role when it's not declared war, but there's wartime combat? We have about a minute.
Yes, the king's role there is to maintain the equilibrium, if you like, and morale of the armed forces during such difficult, amorphous periods of politics. And we have seen the British forces deployed out of its sovereign bases in Cyprus and naval bases in Bahrain and the like, fighting against Iranian and other forms of piracy and attacks against the international trading situation. So the king's always been there, and we saw, even of course during the Afghan war, we saw Prince Harry deployed there,
right,
as a gunner and helicopters. We saw his brother Prince Andrew as an active helicopter pilot in the Falklands War in 1982. So the objective of seeing royals at the front is historically significant and remains so.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, The King Charles Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.